Well, good morning. It is Easter morning, and we're certainly glad that you're here worshiping with us at Calvary Baptist Church today. And we thank the Lord that we can come out and worship on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. Well, let's begin by singing number 270, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. What a blessing our Lord came back out of that grave. Number 270 for those who have their songbooks. We want to welcome everyone out to the service today. We certainly are glad for all that are able to join with us, and we thank you all for coming out. Just a couple of announcements there to get going on the service today. Remember, we are going to do communion service next Sunday morning, and the little individual packets are in the file cabinet out in front of the high school building. And so if you go and pick those up, you have the little individual packets with the juice and the cracker all sealed in there, nice and sanitary. If you don't want to pick that up and you have your own at home, you certainly can use your own juice and your own cracker. So we'll be participating in that next Sunday morning following the morning service. And I was able to speak with Brother Schwenke this week, and he is graciously going to send us the tapes of himself preaching. He'll be preaching there at his home in Arizona, and we'll be giving the messages. So we'll have a message for Sunday school as he normally does. So next week we'll put out a Sunday school video, and then we'll have one for the Sunday morning service, one for the Sunday evening service, and then a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for that week. So we're looking forward to hearing Brother Schwenke preach to us. And we'll do the regular kinds of service things. We'll still be doing all of that and incorporating that in. And then we'll incorporate his message right there into the feed. And it will be right there on the screen. So we look forward to that. And I want to thank everyone who's been faithfully sending in your offerings. We appreciate that. And we're thankful that we're still able to pay all the bills. And thank the Lord for that. And just remind us to continue on with that. Now today we're going to have some specials, and so we're going to have Miss Greathouse come, and she's going to play her flute, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Greathouse. That was a beautiful number. We really appreciate that very much. That was wonderful, and we thank you for that very much. Let's go now in our songbooks back to page 265, Christ Arose, 265. And now we're going to have a special from Anna Sampson. She's going to be singing, "This Is My Father's World."
Of skies and
Thank you, Anna. That was a beautiful number. We appreciate that very much, and we're thankful for the talent of our young people and their willingness to serve the Lord. We thank you so much for that. All right, let's go now to our memory verse. We are working on memorizing a verse of Scripture each month, and this month we are working on 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 8. So we're going to turn over there to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, verse 8, and we will say that twice together. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now we want to go to our scripture reading for the day. We will be looking in the book of Luke in chapter 24 and reading verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24 at verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of our Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the wonderful salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent him to die upon the cross for us. We know that we do not deserve your kindness and your mercy. And what a great and merciful God you are. So gracious and so good, so loving and so kind. And we praise you and exalt you and magnify you and lift you up forever for all the wonderful things that you have done. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help us this week to be faithful people, to be people who love you and serve you, who are kind and gracious to one another, who fulfill thy will in all matters, who are considerate and thoughtful, who are always walking in prayer, recognizing the needs of our Lord. We pray, Father, that you will help us to be busy in the work of Christ, even in these days when it is difficult, that we might be reaching out to our friends and to our neighbors about us to be an encouragement to folks and to get the gospel out through every means that we can. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunities that you have given us, even through these videos, to go out to people. And we pray that folks may hear and receive the message of Christ and be saved through all these things. We pray for the work of the Lord all around the world as people are preaching and teaching. As the gospel goes out today all over the world, may it minister in hearts, may souls be saved. And on this Resurrection Sunday, may we see many people coming into the kingdom. Bless our missionaries who labor there on the foreign fields. Help them in their work in getting the gospel there. Bless those, Lord, who are persecuted for thy name's sake. May you comfort them and encourage them. We pray, Father, that you will bless our nation, that you will bless our leaders, that you'll give them wisdom to do the things that are good and right. Bless those, Lord, who protect us, our soldiers, our sailors, our all in our military, Lord, who are concerned for our safety. May you protect them and help them. For our policemen, our firemen, our doctors, our nurses, all of those, Lord, who are concerned with our safety and are providing health care for us and helping us and keeping us, we pray that, Lord, you would bless them. And we thank you for the ministries that they have. We ask you, dear Lord, to bless our land and help us to get over all of these illnesses, that, Lord, we can once again gather together and worship in the houses of the Lord, that the people of God can come together and they can fellowship one with another and be close one to another once again as we were in days gone by. So, Lord, we ask for thy blessing on these things. We pray for comfort for thy people. May you comfort our hearts and strengthen us. May we trust you and believe in you. May we not worry and be full of fear. May we recognize that, Lord, you are in control of all things and nothing has caught you by surprise. We're thankful, Lord, that you are so gracious and so good and so merciful to us. Now, Lord, we ask you as well to forgive us our trespasses. We know that, Lord, we sin. We do things that are wrong. Sometimes, Lord, our hearts are so filled with fear and worry that we do not function as we ought. Lord, may you forgive us of these things. May we be a people who remember you, who even in these times when we are at home and are not able to get out as much as we used to, may we take the time to spend with you, to pray and to meditate on your word, to work on our memory verses, to read your scriptures and to know what you would have for us to do, that, Lord, we might be a holy people. We pray that we might have revival in our nation, that, Lord, the people's hearts would be turned unto their God. And so we pray for this, Lord. We ask for the meetings with Brother Schwenke coming up. We pray they'll be a blessing to us and an encouragement to us, and that they will lift us up, and Lord, people who are lost might come to Christ and be saved. And so, Father, we just ask for your blessing. We're thankful for your kindness and your goodness. And we pray all of these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. And now we'll have a special number from Samuel White. He'll be playing his trumpet, and he will be playing the number Christ is King. He'll be accompanied on the piano by my wife, Teresa. And so we look forward to this number, Christ is King. Thank you, Samuel, for that beautiful number. We appreciate that very much. That was a beautiful song, and we thank you for playing that. Again, we do thank our young people for their willingness to serve the Lord and to use their talents for Christ. All right, let's take our songbooks again, and we'll go to page 268. 268, He Lives. 268, for those of you who have your songbooks.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world. cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
All right, and now we're going to have a special number from Lena Kirchuk and Daniel Greathouse. They're going to be singing In Christ Alone.
Scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. With the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Lena and Stephen. That was a beautiful number, and we thank you for that. What a blessing to our heart. Let's take our Bibles now, and we will turn to Luke chapter 24, and we'll be looking here at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ today in Luke chapter 24. Let me get over there in Luke chapter 24 and get myself ready here for our message. This is Sunday, and of course we set aside, this is the Sunday that we set aside to remember our Lord's resurrection. Now, of course, every Sunday is set aside for the Lord's resurrection. We remember his resurrection every Sunday. But once a year, we have a special day when we set aside a Sunday just to remember his resurrection. This is, of course, a day of celebration. It's a celebration because we have now new spiritual life because Christ lives. And not only do we have new spiritual life, but we've got new eternal life because Christ lives. And more than that, we're going to have even new physical eternal life because Christ lives. One day this old body is going to be raised up out of the grave and we're going to receive a brand new body. And we will live together with the Lord forever. And because Christ came up out of the grave, we can also live. And just like the angel said, he came up out of the grave and he is not here, for he is risen. Today I want to focus on that very thought. He is not here, but is risen. He's not here, for he is risen from the dead. Now, when he said he's not here, I'm thinking of this in the sense that his body is no longer in the earth. There was a time when he died and they took him down from the cross and the men carried him and they put him in the tomb. And there they sealed the tomb up and there he was in that tomb. And the Romans made sure that he stayed there in that tomb. And for 3 days, his body was in the tomb. It was in the earth. But then on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, he arose from that grave. He came up out of that grave, and no longer is his body in the earth. Now, this was predicted back in the Psalms, in Psalm 16 and verse number 10. It says this to us in Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is a psalm that is written about our Lord Jesus, and this psalm here is telling us that Christ's body was not going to be left in hell. It was not going to be left and see corruption in the grave. No, it was going to come up out of that grave and be resurrected. It was also predicted by the Lord in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew 17 and verse 22, the Lord told the disciples of this very matter. He said in verse 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. Now, of course, I can understand why they would be sorry. Well, they heard Jesus is going to die. And I'm sure that's about all they heard. When you hear somebody's going to die, often you don't get much beyond that. Your mind just kind of stops on that one thought, and you're just stuck right there. They missed the wonderful message that he's going to rise up on the third day. He wasn't going to stay in that grave. He was going to come again. And so just as Jesus predicted, on the third day, he came up out of that grave. And so it was predicted of old that he would come out of the grave. It was predicted by the Lord himself that it was going to come out of the grave. But you notice that the angel confirmed the very message that the Lord had said. The angel said to them, "He is not here, but is risen." Jesus came up out of that grave. He was not in that grave any longer. He was now alive. And so the message of his resurrection, the prediction that he made, was confirmed by the angels. The angels gave that wonderful confirmation that Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. And this was witnessed to by the women and the apostles. The women came to the sepulcher for the purpose of anointing his body. Now, of course, that means they weren't believing that he was going to rise from the dead. You wouldn't be showing up to anoint his body if you really believed that on the third day he was coming up out of the grave. There'd be no need to do this kind of work. And so here we recognize they didn't believe. It was beyond their abilities at this point. The disciples were in the exact same boat. And so here they are. They don't believe. They've shown up to anoint the body, and they get there. And instead of finding a big stone and the difficulty of getting that out of the way and getting in there and anointing the body, which is what they were anticipating, they find the stone rolled away and the body is gone. And what happens? An angel tells them what has happened. He tells them, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." And they give them the wonderful message saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And at that point, they remembered what the Lord said. They did not forget those messages. They heard them. They didn't receive them. They didn't understand them yet. But at this point, it comes into their mind. This is what Jesus said. And their faith was moved. And so they go back to the apostles and they tell them. And of course, the apostles didn't believe. They couldn't understand either. They could not believe that Jesus could have done this, that he could have come up out of the grave. So Peter has to go look for himself. So he gets up from where he is. He runs all the way over to the sepulcher to look in. John outruns him. Peter comes in, you know, huffing and puffing a little bit later. And he comes running in there. And lo and behold, Jesus is not here. And they don't understand. How can this be? How can this possibly be? How hard it is sometimes for us to believe the message of the Lord. But Jesus is risen from the dead. He has, in fact, conquered death. And he has overcome the very source of death, which is sin. And now, because he lives, he can give new life to all who trust in him, to forgive them of their sins and to save their souls so that they are fit to go into heaven and live with the Lord. This is the wonderful message. We even saw that on Wednesday night as we were preaching there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the verse there told us that we would be raised and we would be presented to the Lord. What a blessing that we are going to see the Lord Christ in heaven and know him and have a new body because he lives. And this is the wonderful message that is given to us, that because Christ has died, he paid the penalty for our sins. And because he's risen, we can be justified and we can receive that new spiritual life that is in Christ Jesus. And this is the assurance that God accepted the sacrifice. The fact that he came up out of that grave proves that God accepted that sacrifice and that our sins can be forgiven and that we can have this new spiritual life. And so, friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day to believe that Jesus did die for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day for your justification. And when you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, he says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so I encourage you to ask Christ to save you, and he will do it. Why? Because he said so. Believe the word of God. God's word is true. Accept what he says. And so he is not here, for he has risen from the dead. What a blessing that Christ is no longer in the earth. He is now risen from the earth. He is alive. But we can also think of that in a different sense. We can think of this as he is not here, for he is ascended up into heaven. For a little while, some 40 days after the resurrection, Christ was here upon the earth. And then after that, he ascended up from the mount there and went up into heaven with all of the apostles standing there watching and others witnesses standing there watching. And they saw him go up. And as they witnessed this thing, they were shocked at what was happening. And again, they were confused. And again, the angels come to him. So now we want to think about the fact that he is not here, here in the sense that his bodily form is no longer upon the earth. His bodily form has ascended back up into heaven. And so where is Jesus today? Well, he is seated in the bodily form at the right hand of God the Father, awaiting for the kingdom. As Psalm 2 tells us that it says to sit there until I make your enemies your footstool. And he delivers them to the Lord Jesus. And so Christ now is in heaven, and there he sits, and there he awaits, and he is working for us, and he is interceding for us. He is our advocate with the Father. And so we have his wounds that plead for us and give us forgiveness. And it is a wonderful blessing that our Lord is there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, we read this. Romans 8 and verse 34, it says, "For who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And so here is what the Lord is doing. And in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, we read this. Hebrews 7:25, it says to us there, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us." And so here is Christ in heaven interceding for us, able to save us to the uttermost. What a blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ is not here, but he is in heaven completing that work of salvation so that we will one day be brought into God's presence and glorified in his presence as he is there working on our behalf. And here, while he is not here, yet Jesus is present with us through the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, he told the apostles that he had to go away. And he said, "If I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter is going to be with you, and he will help you, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will lead you into all righteousness." And so we have the blessed presence of the Spirit of God. When a person comes to Christ and is saved, the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. So that now our body becomes the very dwelling place of God. And so our Lord Jesus, through the connection of the Trinity, is there dwelling within us. He has never left us, nor has he forsaken us. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, it says to us this, in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have here. For he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And so what a blessing that our Lord has promised to never leave us, nor forsake us. And while he is in the bodily form there in heaven, he is with us in spirit through the presence of our Lord Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And thus we have all of God. We have all of Christ. We have him with us. And this is a blessed thing. He has gone to heaven and he is working there, and yet he is with us. And this is, you know, part of that mystery of being God and man. How you can be man, you can only be in one place, but as God, you can be everywhere present. And so he is with us, and he has not left us nor forsaken us. But he has left us here for a purpose. In Acts chapter 1, we find the account of the ascension. And in Acts 1 there, beginning down at verse number 6, It says, "And when therefore they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said it is unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so here we see that the apostles are thinking that, Lord, you're going to start the kingdom right now, aren't you? You're going to begin the kingdom right now. We're going to get the resurrected bodies. We're going to get all of the blessings that are recorded in the Old Testament concerning the kingdom age. We're going to receive those things now. Is it now, Lord? That was their thinking. And Jesus said, that's not your business. It's not your business to know all of those things. These things are in the Father's plan. He knows what he's doing. This is his world, and he is in control, and he knows what he's doing, and he is doing all things well. But he said, I am giving you a job. You're going to have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, the apostles had that special event there in Acts 2 where the Spirit of God came upon them, and that was a demonstration to the nation of the fact that there had been a change in the economy of God, and that the prophecy there in Joel was fulfilled, and this was the beginning of that prophecy being fulfilled, and the totality of it has not yet been done, but it is coming. And so the beginning was there with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them. And so today, the Spirit comes and dwells in us when we get saved, as Romans chapter 8 informs us of. And so they were waiting for that time, but we don't have to wait. We've received the Spirit already. And so what does he say we need to do? We need to be witnesses of him. A witness tells what he knows. When you get up on the witness stand, you're supposed to tell what you know. What you've seen, what you've done, what you have knowledge of. Not what you heard somebody else said they did. Okay? You're not to give hearsay. You're to give a witness. And your job as a Christian is to give witness to the fact that Christ has changed you. That Christ has come into your heart and he has saved you. And that same Christ who came into your heart and saved you will save them. And that's our job, is to tell people what Jesus has done. To go into all the world and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very good news that anyone can be saved. That no one is excluded. That God wants everyone to repent and be saved. And this is the wonderful message that is there. And so while Christ has come and he has risen up out of that grave, and that's a wonderful message, and we have salvation because of that message, it doesn't mean that we are instantly translated into heaven. No, we are given a job to do here upon this earth. We are to go and to preach the gospel to all the world. But there's one last sense we can think about this in. And this is in the matter of he is not here, but he's coming again. You see, because the angels there in Acts chapter 1 told them, he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And so here, he is not in the sense we're thinking of here, in the sense of his body being back upon this very earth. Now, Jesus promised that he was going to be with us. In John chapter 14, he told us this. He said, and I'll get there here, John chapter 14, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Isn't that a wonderful promise that God gives to us? We ought not let our hearts be troubled. You know, you let your heart be troubled. That's the truth of the matter. Why do we let our hearts be troubled? Because we just don't want to trust God. You know, it's the truth. We are people that just so often let ourselves be troubled. Why do we worry when we can pray, as the old song says? Why do we worry? Because we want to. Truth is, we kind of enjoy it sometimes. We like to worry. We like to be afraid. We think that somehow that's a blessing, and it's not. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. God can take care of you. Believe in the Lord Jesus. He'll take care of you. He says, in his Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Just as the angel said you saw him go up bodily, he's coming again bodily. You saw him ascend from this earth in a bodily form, he's going to come back to this earth in a bodily form. And he is going to take you and receive you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. We are going to one day be with the Lord. And so this is part of the wonderful promise that is there. But in Acts 1 and verse 11, it reminds us of the fact that he went up. Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? That Jesus you saw go up is going to come back again just like you saw him go. He's going to return in like manner. You saw him go up bodily, he'll come again bodily. You saw him go up physically, he'll come again physically. He is going to come back again unto this earth. And so Jesus is going to return to this earth. In Zechariah chapter 14, where it speaks there of the time of the end and the blessings and all of those things and the kingdom age, as it speaks here in chapter 14 concerning the day of the Lord that is coming, in verse 4 it says, and his feet, speaking here of the Lord, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. One day the Lord is going to descend from heaven, and when he does, his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives. So I actually even know where he's coming back to. He's coming back and standing on the Mount of Olives. And this is a wonderful blessing. Our Lord is coming again. He is coming again. We don't need to be afraid and worried. The Lord is coming again. He who rose up out of that grave and brought to us spiritual and eternal life has promised us eternal physical life with him. And he is going to do that very thing. Right now he is in heaven working out that eternal plan of the Father and accomplishing all the things that need to be done so that the gospel goes out into all the world and people are coming to Christ in salvation and calling out a people unto himself. And we don't understand when all of that will be accomplished and when all of that will finish, but when it is, he will come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we shall be also. And our Lord will come again and stand upon the Mount of Olives. And so what are we to do then as we wait for the Lord to come? Well, back in the book of Luke, in chapter 19, the Lord gives a parable there telling us what it is that we are to do. In Luke 19 here, and verse number 13, he tells us this. He said, and he called his 10 servants, and he delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. These are known as the parables of the kingdom, these kingdom parables. And in these parables, the Lord is teaching us what he wants us to do. And so he gave these different ones, these talents. He gave them different abilities. He gave them different skills. He gave them different incomes. He gave them all these different things. And he said unto them, occupy, be busy, be doing something. We all are to be busy for the Lord. The one thing we don't want to be is like the servant who took the Lord's blessing and said, I don't want to lose the Lord's blessing, so I'm going to hide that blessing in a napkin and I'm going to bury it in the earth and nobody will know about it and nobody will know. Folks, you may think that that's the best thing to do. You know, you're a poor servant. You can't do much for the Lord. You may think that you just don't have a lot of abilities. And the best thing for you to do is so that you don't bring shame upon the name of the Lord is to just simply take what abilities God's given you and bury them and don't let anybody know you're a Christian and just be hiding those truths. And folks, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. We need to take what we have and we need to use what we have for the Lord. You say, but I'm an imperfect servant. That's right, you are. But God sent you anyway. God knew that when he sent you out. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so go out and use those skills that we have. Occupy till he comes. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and they were having a hard time with some of these things, and they were thinking the day of the Lord was coming during their day, and as we are thinking the Lord is coming in their day, but that they were so convinced it was coming, they just kind of sat down in the easy chair and were looking up into heaven saying, okay, Lord, come on. And they weren't doing their job. They weren't working. They weren't doing the things they ought to have been doing. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, the apostle says to them, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. What is it that we're to do? Do good. You say, well, what exactly does the Lord want me to do? Do good. Well, what's good? There's all kinds of good things. Are you doing good when you obey what the Lord's told you to do? Yes. So when you're honest, yeah, you're doing good. When you're working with your hands so that you can have to give to others who are in need, you're doing good. When you're reading your Bible, you're doing good. When you're praying, you're doing good. When you're being kind one to another, you're doing good. When you're serving the Lord and helping, you're doing good. There's lots of work that is good. Now, there's all kinds of bad things, and Satan's tempting us, and the world is tempting us, and our own flesh is tempting us, and drawing us toward all manner of things that are bad, but we don't want those things. Be busy in doing good. So on this Resurrection Sunday, as we think about what the Lord is doing for us, and how he has come back out of the grave to give to us new life, let's take that new life and live new. Let's not live after the old ways. Let's not live after the ways of death and destruction. No, let's live in a new way. Let's be busy. Let's occupy till he comes. Let's take the gospel to the ends of the world. Let's do good. This is the glorious message. Jesus is not here. He's risen, as he said. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had today to gather together. And Lord, if there's anyone who has been listening to this message and has understood the gospel and never been saved, we pray that they might this very day trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they might believe you to do for them what you have said you will do, that you will forgive them and save them. And so, Father, we pray that you'll have your will and way in this message. May thy word return, having accomplished that which you sent it to do. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. God bless you, folks, and have a great afternoon. We do want to see you back tonight for the evening service. We are going to be in the book of Exodus and looking at worship and how God has laid that out for us and the blessings that are there. And we just trust God will bless you and give you a great week. Remember, we are here at 407 Marley Station Road. And also remember, concerning all of the offerings and things like that, I know they keep telling me to announce about how it's all tied into the internet and things like that, and that's all there. There's even a link that is going across the screen telling you what to do. I don't understand all these things, but nonetheless, you know, it is there for us to avail, and we just trust that God will give us all a great week as we serve him. What a blessing it is that we can still worship the Lord. Keep encouraged. Keep looking up. God bless you.